Will you pray with me? Father, what a way to begin our corporate time of worship. Thank you for the gift of music. And for how it reminds us of the beauty of your creation. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. And for all these things, we worship you. But mostly for who you are. Not just what you have done, but for who you are. We give you praise. We pray your spirit would be pleased by what takes place in this place. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Good morning. Everybody all right? Everybody's good. I have something here. Oranges. All right, everybody hold on to one. All right, don't eat it now. Wait till Matt is preaching. Then you can eat it when he's preaching. Huh? Yeah, that's good. Where do these come from? They're not a ball. I knew I shouldn't have passed them out. That's all right. We're going to hold them steady. All right. Hold them still in your hands, or I'm going to take them. Okay. So, where do these come from? Where do these come from? These come from orange juice? It's close. An orange tree. They come from a tree kind of like this. See how they're growing? I couldn't really bring a tree in. But I thought I'd bring a picture in. Now, what happens? Now, you see they're growing because they're connected, right, to the tree. And as soon as we disconnect them from the tree, they stop growing, and actually they're going to start to die soon. Now, do y'all like oranges?
Yes.
I like oranges too. You can sometimes smell them. But there's an important lesson that Jesus talks about in the Bible about being connected. We get these oranges because they grow in a tree. You and I, we grow in our faith in God because we're connected to Jesus. We stay, we read his Bible. We come to church. We listen. There's a passage in the Bible that Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And what he was saying was, if you get disconnected from me, you're not going to grow. These oranges, if they were really tiny and they got disconnected from the tree, they'd stop growing. Only when we are connected to Jesus, learning about what he wants and how he wants us to act and behave, only when we read the Bible, only when we study, only when we are with our friends who understand about Jesus and our teachers, when we stay connected to Jesus, that is when we grow. So, what I need for you to do, as you go back to your seat in just a minute, I want you to give this to whoever you're with, okay, because it's going to be a toy of some kind for the rest of the service. Afterwards, you can eat it after the service, okay? All right, you promise? You can do that for me? All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much that you have given us the gift of Jesus. And you want us to stay connected to him because that's the only way we grow. That's the only way we get better. And to be more like Jesus is to stay connected with him. Help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to your seats now. Ministry of God's Word comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. We invite you to turn in your Bible, if you have yours, or there is one there in the pew in front of you. It's page 864. This is 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and I'll be reading out of the New International Version. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Will you pray with me? Father, it is a simple idea and difficult to live out. This life of faith. There are so many days when we can see the beauty of your creation and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are real. But honestly, there are days when we struggle too, to wonder what is happening in our world, to see the pain and the struggle and the strife. And we know that you are a loving, gracious, merciful God. And we wonder, and we even doubt and question. I'm reminded of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he pleaded for this cup to be taken from him. But whatever your will be done. Father, when we take a clear view of our world, you are there even in the darkness, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of pain, you are there. You have not abandoned your creation, but you have provided a way through. May we be the vessels of truth and love, and mercy and grace, and courage and peace. May we be the ones who others see you through us. That even on our darkest days, that we have joy, that our faith carries on because we know whom we believe in. So no matter what we face today or tomorrow or next week, we trust in you. That's the kind of faith our world needs. Everything is not as clear as what we see right in front of us. People struggle while smiling. People hurt, and we don't know. May we be the ones who cling to Jesus and serve your creation with all that we have. That is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this gorgeous day, this day that we can celebrate your creation. Father, we come before you humbled at the ability to come and worship you. We ask that you receive these offerings as an unworthy token of our love for you, Father. Father, take these offerings and use them for your kingdom. In your glory. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. How y'all doing this morning? Listen, it's a joy to be here as the pastor's away on the nice white sandy beaches of North Carolina. So you're stuck with me this morning as he's away. But it's good to be here. Scripture passage from today comes from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so, that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Have you ever had a friend ask you to help him or her out with a task that they needed completed? I'm sure we all have. But have you ever had that friend help you out with it, ask you to help them out with a task that you knew nothing about? We've all done that one. The nice part is, though, when we're asked to help do something for somebody else, they're going to kind of guide us through the process. They're in charge, not us, right? The outcome is their responsibility. In preparing for today's message, I read parts of Charles Spurgeon's book, Being God's Friend. And there's a quote that really stood out to me. And it says this: when we follow the Lamb wherever he goes, he is responsible for the results, not us. Think about that. It's pretty freeing as a believer to know that if we follow him, follow Christ wherever he leads, he's responsible, not us. Our job is simply to be faithful to help out a friend, to be faithful to the calling that he's placed on our life. Our job is to simply follow his guidance. Today's passage, John 15, 9 through 17, is part of Jesus' farewell discourse, his last message to his disciples. This took place on the evening of his betrayal. The verses previous to this passage uses the analogy of the vine that Jeff mentioned earlier in the children's service. Jesus said in verse 5, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus' friends, they bear fruit. You might not be able to give a dime to the church, but you are Jesus' friend if you do what he commands you to do. You might be or have been a stay-at-home housewife, not able to do anything outside the context of your family. But if you're giving your family all the attention that you have, doing what Christ has put before you, Jesus will call you a friend. You might have had an average paying job, barely being able to make ends meet from month to month, but you set a Christ-like example for all people, the people that are around you, doing what God has called you to do. At the end, when your life is over, Jesus will look at you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or "Well done, my good and faithful friend." When life's over, it doesn't matter what you accomplished. here on this earth. I had the opportunity this weekend or Friday to play golf with my little four-year-old. He loves golf. He's far better than I am. Even right now, don't laugh, it's true. Well, we were playing golf and we ran into this guy that I had known for quite some time. I grew up with his son and he was telling me how much money his son makes every month. And I went, wow, it's more than I make in a year. That's pretty remarkable. And he just kept going on and on about all these successful people in the world and all this. And I just sat back and later I was thinking about this and preparing for this message. And I went, man, in the end, it's all going to be gone. All of it. And what's matter is, are we faithful with the calling that God's put before us? And it doesn't matter how we value that calling. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. But in John 15, 9 through 17, Christ is giving this farewell discourse, his farewell message kind of to his disciples. And he explains what it means to be a friend of God. Let's walk through that passage together. Verses 9 and 10. It makes the connection to what Jesus was previously saying in John 14, 23 and 24. And Jesus said this there. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Let's talk about obeying a little bit. In reading this book from Charles Spurgeon, Being Christ's Friend, he breaks down obeying God into four sections. Active obedience, continuous obedience, universal obedience, and having a willingness to obey. First, active obedience. Abstaining, staying away from all the bad things this world has to offer, is a great part of being a righteous person. But it's not enough for friendship with God. If a man can say, I'm not a drunk, I'm not dishonest, I don't violate the Sabbath, I keep it holy, I'm not a liar, so far so good, right? But what if I said, hey, I'm your friend, and to prove it, I don't insult you, I don't rob you, I don't speak evil to you or about you? Would you say that's a great friend? You wouldn't. You would say it's probably a nice person. You know, Jesus puts more stress on the positive attributes, the positive duties that we're supposed to fulfill. Matthew 25, 35 through 36. For I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes. You clothed me. I was sick. You look after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Are you actively serving Christ, or are you just staying away from the bad stuff? Because that's not good enough. Are you just passively going through the motions of church? Doing religion. Are you a modern day Pharisee? Or are you looking for ways to show Christ's love for other people? You know, accepting Jesus, it isn't a one-time choice. It isn't a, yeah, they joined the church today, woohoo! But what about tomorrow? Scripture's pretty clear. It's a daily choice. Every day, we need to wake up, pick up our cross, and follow, which takes us to continuous obedience. He doesn't say, if you sometimes do what I command you to do, or if you do this one job on Sunday mornings, you're obeying me. That's good enough. It's not what he says. We're to abide in him, to always be connected to the vine at all times. Not just when we choose to. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Wednesdays. You know, if we choose to disconnect from our faith all the other days of the week, we have simply pruned ourselves from Christ. We did it to ourselves. Nobody had to do it. We cut ourselves off. You know, and how are we supposed to obey at all times? What do we even know to obey? You know, obeying and knowing God's plan for our life is hard sometimes. We've all been there. What does God want me to do today? You know, growing up, even here at the church, what does God want me to do with my life? A lot of times we don't know until we actively start serving Him. But it's universal obedience. It's whatever Christ calls you to do. No matter how big or how small or how big or small you think that calling is, the smallest of callings on our lives can sometimes be the most significant. Or they could lead to some pretty big problems if we don't pay attention to them. You know, think about if you had a job and the boss asked you, hey, will you take out the trash? Yeah, I'll get to that. But then you don't take out the trash. And his boss comes to you and says, hey, will you take out the trash? Yeah, I'll get to that in a few minutes. When that next boss comes to you, what's going to happen? You're fired. You're gone. Not because you didn't take out the trash, but because you didn't obey the orders that were given to you. One calling is not greater than the other. It's our obedience to our calling. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. It doesn't matter how successful you are in the world's perspective. What matters is, are you being obedient to what God has called you to do? 2 Corinthians 5:14. Those who are Christ's friends do not need any spur except love. And that verse says, the love of Christ constrains us. It's His love that compels us. It's His love for us that makes us want to be His hands and feet. Let me ask you this question. And don't think about other people. Think about your own life here. When your life is over, would you have our Lord and Savior stand up and say, that drunk, he's my friend? Would you have him stand up and say, that fraudulent banker is one of my close companions? Would you have him say, that person that just cussed you out, God, that used your name in vain, would you have our Lord say, he's one of mine? You know, we can correctly read into this text to say, you are not my friends if you do not do the things I command you. You can't lean your head on Jesus' chest and say, Lord, I know your will for my life, but I don't intend to do it. You can't do it. Could you look at Jesus and say, hey, man, I love you, but I'm not doing that? We've all made that statement before. I ain't doing that. But if God's called you to do something, you should do it. For all the school teachers out there, if you ask a student to do his math assignment, and he goes and grabs a book and starts reading it, teacher, you're going to become frustrated, aren't you? Very quickly. So you ask the student, hey, will you go do your math homework, your math assignment for today? So this time he goes and grabs the dictionary, the encyclopedia, and is starting reading it word for word, understanding all of it. You're probably going to go lose your mind and go crazy because he hasn't listened to what you've told him to do. It's no different for our life. We might be very successful here at church doing something, and a lot of people might see great value in that. But if that's not what Christ has called you to do, you're disobeying the calling for your life. God's called us all to do different things in different ways in different places. for a reason, for His purpose. He's called some people to make millions of dollars a year and to set an example before Him. Before others, so they can see Christ in their life. He's called some people to barely being able to make ends meet month to month, so other people can see Him through their life. You know, let's talk about Jesus' life for a second. We get back to verse 11 from the text today. Two verses in, I promise we're more than halfway done. Kick back and relax. Verse 11, Jesus speaks of the joy. His words are referring back to the joy He spoke to the disciples about they should be glad that He was going to the Father. Yeah, He's leaving them, but He's going for a higher purpose. Christ's purpose was so we would be able to be connected to that vine forever. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus had to leave. He had to go so we would have a way. In verse 12, we see that command once again that Jesus said in John 13, 34. Love each other as I have loved you. And this commandment that Jesus gave sets the tone for the rest of the passage as well as our lives. Simply to love. It's clear, though, love means action. Not sitting back going to church. Not sitting back reading your Bible every day, which is great. Both of those, they're needed, they're necessary. But love means action. Love means doing something for somebody else. Love means a life of sacrifice. Verse 13 is probably the most explicit statement in the gospel, is what it means to love. Lay down your life for your friends. You know, in John 13:13-16, Jesus spoke of His relationship with the disciples in the metaphor of a servant and a master. Well, here we see a shift as the hour is drawing closer to the betrayal, to Jesus' arrest. He shifts His language from master-servant to being a friend. The word friend in verses 13 through 15 is from the verb philos, to love. In John's gospel, he uses that philo as long as agapo interchangeably. He mixes those up. They mean the same thing from his perspective. So what Jesus is speaking of friends here, what He's really saying is those who are loved, the ones that Jesus laid down His life for. And the context of this farewell discourse, Jesus is telling His disciples, telling the ones that He loved and that they loved. He restates the love commandment. He restates something several times. He said, "Everything I have heard comes from the Father. God loves us. God gave up His Son for you. For those that are loved, so we could have eternal life, a place in heaven. But that place is not based on anything we have done or anything we might think about doing for God. It's all based on His initiative to love us first. Relationship with Christ is simply God's grace. We don't deserve it. All we have to do is accept it." You know, Jesus, though, it's pretty cool. He sets up the disciples for nothing but success. Assurance of answered prayer. Let's be honest. We've all struggled with unanswered prayers, haven't we? Or at least we think they're unanswered. We've probably gotten an answer and just missed it. Or the answer might not have come yet. But you pray over and over and over again for something. There was a lady this morning after the first service came to me afterwards, and she said, "I've prayed for 2 years for something, and it just happened last week." That's called great faith, if you ask me. A lot of us give up after 2 prayers. But Jesus assures the disciples that whatever you ask in My name, the Father will give you. In John's gospel, in chapter 11, 41 through 42, Jesus mentions, whatever you ask in my name. 12, 28 through 30, same thing. Chapter 17, 1 through 26, praying with confidence. Praying with the confidence that God hears our prayers. It might not give us the answer that we want, but we don't need to ask those things in our name. We need to ask them in Jesus' name. You know, growing up here at the church, I got the opportunity to do some pretty cool things. When I was in college at Mars Hill, Raymond called me one day and he said, "Hey, would you swing by this music store and pick up some sound equipment for me?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And I'm like, "Do I need to have any money or anything? Do I need to pay for it?" He said, "No, just tell them I sent you." So I go into this little music store downtown Hendersonville, and I walk out of there with thousands of dollars of sound equipment. And I'm like, "Do I need to pay?" He said, "No, you're good. You're one of Raymond's friends. You're good." I walk out and leave with thousands of dollars of sound equipment, shaking my head. I called him. I said, "Was I supposed to pay for this?" He said, "No, we'll square up later." A few months later, the same thing happened. More sound equipment. And I said, "Are we good?" He said, "Yeah, we're good. Go ahead." That's what it's like with us. We walk out with eternity because of what Christ did. Christ paid the price for us. All we have to do is to be His friend, to love. Love Him and love others. In verse 17, he restates this commandment of love. He's setting up the next few verses where he shifts his discourse from love within the community to the hate the community that we're going to have to deal with as being one of Christ's friends. You know, today if you left here and tried to go out and love everybody, I hate to tell you, you missed the point. Because you can't do it. You can't do it. Our job is to go out and love Christ and to allow His love to flow out of us like a fountain. Because we will fail. We will become frustrated. We will get angered. We will get very upset when they messed up our order at the drive-thru. We've all been there, right? That's not love, is it? We miss the point. We must love God so we have the energy to love others. How has Jesus loved you? He laid down His life for His friend. But has it meant anything? You know, we might even dare to change John's verb here. Read the passage in the present tense. Love one another as I am loving you. He's doing stuff every day for us, and sometimes we just miss it and take it for granted. When we love Christ, the love for others comes naturally. It's kind of like a tree that bears fruit. A tree doesn't try to bear fruit. It's what it was created to do. To bear fruit. When we follow the Lamb, wherever He goes, He's responsible for the results, not us. It's simply our job to follow. You know, I mentioned earlier, when your life is over, would you have Jesus stand up and say, "I died for that drunk person"? Would you have Jesus stand up and say, "I died for that cheater, that liar"? And the amazing thing about all of that, yeah, He did. He died for each and every one of us, despite what we've done here on this earth, because He loves us all the same. It's our job to love Him in return and to allow His love to pour out before others. Would you go out and love Jesus today? Trust Him. Obey Him. Pray with me if you would. Father, it's truly amazing that You gave up Your Son to live, to set an example, but more importantly, to die, so we could have relationship with you forever. Father, thank you for calling us friend. Father, forgive us for not loving you enough. Father, guide us as we seek to obey you, as we seek to trust you, so we can carry out our purpose here on this earth, because we are your hands and your feet. And you have a calling for each and every one of us. So we're your vessels, Lord. Use us. In your name we pray. Amen. We're now going to sing hymn number 447, Trust and Obey. If you're a visitor today, we welcome you. We thank you for worshiping with us today. If you're not a member of a church and wants to talk more about that, I would love to talk with you. Raymond's a whole lot more polished at that than I am. He'll be back next week. But if you would like to join the church, I'll be down front. We'd love to talk to you, or any decision you would like to make, I'll be down front. Let's stand and sing together hymn number 447, Trust and Obey. Great being with you today. I pray that you would leave this place and go out and trust and obey. And remember, all we have to do is follow. The results are left to Him.